Hello, this is Trent Waddle. I am interviewing my grandpa. Today is July 22nd, and we are in Madison, Wisconsin, in the, what building is this?
Wisconsin Energy Institute.
Wisconsin Energy Institute, and I am Trent Waddle. Grandpa, could you introduce yourself with your name, age, and where you grew up?
Lan Waddle, and I grew up at Marshall, Wisconsin.
Growing up, were you aware of where energy came from?
When I was growing up, I lived on a farm, and we would have heated the house with oil, and I think eventually you learned about where fossil fuels came from. There were people who were still heating with wood that they'd make on local woodlots. And there was some places, some people heated with coal. I don't remember as many people out on the farm heating with coal in their houses, but Max's Tavern down the road heated with coal, and bigger businesses in town would heat with coal.
What did your parents tell you about energy?
Shut the door, you'll let all the heat out. We were very conscious that you wouldn't just make three or four trips to town instead of one. One of the things that's so much different, I live the same place now that I grew up on, but now to drive into Madison two or three times in the same day, it's only 20 miles, but certainly when I was growing up, that would be more like once in a month trip, that you just didn't think to casually drive all the way to Madison, that people were very aware of it. And I don't know that they were thinking of conserving energy as much as just not spending the money for it.
What did you tell my dad about energy when he was my age?
Shut the door, you'll let all the heat out. Okay. Well, by then it was much more casual to drive around a lot more. People personally put a lot of miles on just driving kids to events at school or something. It was just, I don't know if we just were less concerned or less tight or what, but I think that at that generation, they learned about energy, whether it was at home or at school, that there's only so much out there, and if you use it up, it's gone.
Makes sense. How have you seen the way we make and use energy change since your childhood?
Well, in my childhood, the only nuclear energy that was talked about was pretty much the atomic bombs. I say when I was 10 years old, that would have been in 1960, that was only 15 years after the atomic bombs. There weren't very many online operating commercial atomic reactors making electricity. There wasn't any atomic energy and ships and submarines yet then. And that, of course, has changed dramatically. I believe that most of our energy, or at least we thought that our energy, was coming mostly from the oil fields of Texas and Oklahoma and maybe Pennsylvania, and the coal mines of Kentucky in the West. And now energy is thought of on a more of a global marketplace.
What are the biggest reasons for these changes in your point of view?
Well, I think they're mostly money driven, that people who are making gasoline are buying oil from the cheapest source. And if it's cheaper to pump it out of the ground in Saudi Arabia, put it on a ship and haul it to the United States, and to get oil laid into Houston, Texas, is cheaper coming from Saudi Arabia than it is from an oil field 100 miles away. They'll buy it wherever it's cheapest.
Makes sense. You lived through the increase in gas prices in the 70s. What do you remember about the 1970s energy embargo, or why it happened?
I graduated from the university in the spring of 71, and I worked for a feed company and did a lot of driving to call on farmers. Gas was about 25, 26 cents a gallon at that point. And that, of course, included whatever tax was on it at that time. And now it's about 10 times as high. And I can remember in the early 70s when we hit an energy crisis, and or we thought we were at one, and there were worries that we'd be short of gas, and people were lining up at gas stations to top off their tank and so on. And I don't think we ever got to where we really were staying home because there wasn't gas available. In my lifetime that I can remember, gas has always been too cheap. There's never been a time when I knew people who didn't go somewheres because the price of fuel was going to be too high. I think to get people to use less gas or to think about conserving fuel would take rationing. That you have the right to buy 40 gallons of gasoline for the month, and if you run out of gas on the 20th, well, you're just going to have to stay home for 10 days. That would be the difference.
Mm-hmm. When did you first hear about renewable sources of energy?
Well, I don't know that we thought of it in those terms, but certainly when I was a kid going to one-room country school, there were people who would every year cut wood to heat their homes and their businesses. And that was an ongoing renewable source of energy, that you took down dead trees and cut them up and split it and burned wood, and next winter you'd do another batch, and every winter you made up enough wood and got it drying for the following year. And that was certainly just renewable energy. Didn't think much of it one way or the other. When I was a kid, my mother used a solar clothes dryer or a clothesline. Well, we didn't think of it as renewable energy, but it did that job. Mm-hmm. She was pretty excited, though, to get a gas clothes dryer so that when it was 10 below zero, she wasn't hauling baskets of wet overalls out and hanging them on the line, and they'd freeze into pieces like plywood, and she could bring them in the house and try and thaw them out and then re-dry them. So it sounds good, but the working of the solar clothes dryer wasn't so hot in Wisconsin in the winter.
What thoughts did you have about renewable energy when you first heard about it or first saw it being used?
Well, as far as referring to something as renewable energy, we've all known that there's a finite amount of oil under the ground.
Yep.
And that if you use it, it isn't getting replaced virtually at all. And so you use it up. Then what are you going to use? And if you're going to switch to atomic energy, there's a huge amount of petroleum that's used for transportation.
Mm-hmm.
And to use atomic energy for transportation, the only way we see it today is You can use atomic energy to make electricity.
Yep.
And then you can have electric vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're at the edge of that becoming a possibility. I think in your lifetime, you'll see practical electric vehicles and a way to charge them up that you'll own an electric car and you won't have a gasoline powered car. I think that'll happen. I might even end up with an electric car someday. But we're not quite there. That maybe it's there, but to the best of my knowledge, if I were going to drive from here to Berry Lake, I don't know where I would stop to recharge the car between here and there.
Makes sense.
And it seems that we have to have that figured out before electric cars will become prevalent.
Yep. So when was your first time hearing about climate change or noticing climate change?
I think that learning about climate change probably started slowly, maybe even when I was at the university 50 years ago, that they were talking about it. But it's slowly, the science became more and more convincing as years went by and there was more information available.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if... It seems that 15 or 20 years ago, we were at a point where I'd like to think most educated people were accepting the science.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always going to be a few deniers because it's inconvenient for their lifestyle to say that. And at the same time, even the people who accept that climate change is caused by burning fossil fuels will all fly to somewheres in Europe to have a convention to talk about it. But when they all fly there, they're all flying on fossil fuel burning airlines, and they're contributing to the problem going to the conference to solve it.
That's a good point. How has your understanding about climate changed since you first learned about it?
I think the biggest thing that strikes me is that we frequently have heard the term global warming.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a term that I think has hurt us all because it's misleading. It's global climate change rather than global warming, and that's why in this set of questions they've outlined here, they use the term. They're trying to rename it.
Yep.
Rename it. And because otherwise, if you have a day in the winter when it's 20 below zero, somebody will say, well, this is global warming, I guess, huh? No, mm-hmm. But it is climate change. Mm-hmm. That the change is bigger swings and more pronounced swings, and it's just something we're seeing. At the same time, I think the weather is changing. I think we're seeing weather change inside of my lifetime. That we have more big rain events. What we used to think of as a 100-year rain, a rain that will only occur once in every 100 years, we might have two of them in the same year.
Mm-hmm.
That we're changing the ratio of when things happen and the frequency of when they happen. And I think it's just happening. That's always hard to recognize because of the difference between weather and climate. But it seems that, seems from my perspective, that that's happening. It's getting wetter longer in the spring and wetter earlier in the fall. And maybe more terribly hot spells in the summer. Warmer winters.
What are your hopes for my generation and how we make and use energy?
Probably mostly, I'm a little bit feeling guilty about, I maybe have a few years to 8 or 10 years left, and that I most likely will be handing off a world that's in poorer shape than what I received it. And what the answer is going to be, I don't have a real good handle on. I don't see our political climate. We're going to have to rely on the rest of the world to rescue the United States. Mm-hmm. That the United States has let itself become fat and piggy. Mm-hmm. That we like the way we live, and we like the way we drive, and we like the way we air condition, and we like the fact that we're wealthy and don't care about other people, and it's not a good situation. So it leaves you and your generation, you're going to have to figure this out.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything else you'd like to say?
Oh, I don't know. We're focusing on energy. I think sometimes it's hard to understand how much things have changed. Things haven't changed as much in my generation as some. When I was little, all of my great-grandmothers were alive. I had 2 grandmothers and 4 great-grandmothers. My grandmothers were born in 98 and in 1900. And their mothers were born about 20 years before that, in about 1880, maybe 1878, something like that. Mm-hmm. My great-grandmothers grew up on farms in the 1880s and 1890s. Mm-hmm. And they would have, when they were 18 years old, they would have never seen an airplane because it didn't exist. They'd have never seen a car because they didn't exist. There were trains, and there were a few steam engines on farms that ran like threshing machines. And 3 of those grandmothers lived to where I can remember them. And one of them lived until about 1874. When you think of that grandmother living from 1880 to 1974, she lived to where there, from when there was no airplanes to what she saw, a man on the moon in one lifetime. No airplanes to a man on the moon in one lifetime. That's wow. How much change there was in her lifetime. And I think that, and that's real people that I knew. Real people that I knew. I ate at her table, and she came to our house at Christmas, and it just, there's that kind of change out there.
Yep.
And I don't know what the changes will be in the future, and somehow we'll survive them, but you got your work cut out for you. Mm-hmm. I think that does us for now.
Yep. Well, thanks for being interviewed.
Well, it's fun. Yep. Here's the bag it was in. Maybe they take the tape out, I don't know.
I don't know, I'm trying to find the...
On-off switch?
Yeah.